I'm quite conscious of the time pressure, and I'm going to try to assist the committee by dealing with matters that I consider to be of utmost importance for the committee. In that spirit, then, Chair, I proceed to slide number 2. And we give an indication on the slide that the targets that were relevant in the first quarter. And of that 16, we either achieved or exceeded 12, and 4 have not been realized, which gives us an average of 75% across the 3 programs. Deals with the performance agreement of permanent staff. And those are people who were either on maternity leave, those were long-term leaves, and there are a number of persons who had not submitted, and those that are on suspensions owing to disciplinary issues. Now, if we proceed to slide 4, and look at the one indicator under program 2, electoral operations, which we did not realize, the number of liaison sessions with political parties across the sphere. And this really is a housekeeping matter, because those meetings have in fact happened, that those liaison interactions have in fact happened, but we're not captured into the party license to achieve the necessary media required by audit standards that are applied. And in program 3, there has not been a target that has not been realized. So now if we look into the details from page 5 and look at program 1, both targets were met on page 5, so that I'm not going to spend a lot of time there. And on page 6, the one target that has not been met relates to the number of internal audit progress reports that needed to be prepared by the chief executive and reviewed by the audit committee within 30 days. So that did not happen within the 30 days. It will be considered at the next meeting of the audit committee, which is scheduled for, it was considered and approved at the meeting that took place on the 15th of August, which is outside of the relevant project. And then on page 7, the number of permanent staff who were provided with developmental training opportunities. Our target there was 146. working. We have 930 permanent staff members on the establishment, and we have 892, which is 95.5% of performance agreement by the end of April, which is the date that we needed to have this performance agreement done. So there's a variance of 42 staff members, and the reasons, as I indicated, these people who were on long-term absence of one or the other kind. The only thing that I think the Commission will take note of our discussions that we had on the 2nd of May regarding the aspiration to work towards a clean audit rather than an unqualified audit. So that will be corrected going forward, but it was not relevant in the quarter under review. Then moving to program two, where we look at the detail 212, that is the replacement of PR vacancies. The target was within 5 days, which is a prescribed period. We've managed to do it within. So that's been an efficiency there. And the declaration of results for by-elections, the loss has been 7 days, we're able to do it within a day. Now, on page 10, I need to talk about the reduction in the number of people for whom the Commission doesn't have addresses. And following our discussions in May, we issued another report which was necessary in terms of the Constitutional Court order. The most important thing on that, Chair, are two planned events which the Commission will soon make statements about. Firstly, the online facility for everybody who's on the voter's roll to create a user account and be able to view their recorded address, as well as amend it if it is incorrectly captured or if they have since changed their places of residence. So you don't have to go to an IEC office for that purpose. You just need to log on to any you can log on using either a mobile tablet or whatever, internet and so on. So we believe that will give the country an opportunity for most people to ensure that they capture their addresses correctly, those that don't have them to be captured and so on. Now, we are also quite conscious that we have uneven access to the digital economy. Not every person has access to bandwidth and related resources to be able to participate in a program of that nature. And for that purpose, the Commission will be announcing an address harvesting a weekend where all the 26,000 voting stations that are across the country are open for purposes of giving people an extra opportunity to deal with the issue of the missing addresses. I'll talk about the budget implications in a few minutes because there is a huge implication financially. And Chair, I'll skip page 11 and go to page 12, and that slide deals with the number of liaison sessions with party liaison committees. Our target was 223, we've realized 217, and we underperformed. to the tune of 6. And I indicated that it's not the fact that meetings had not happened with the parties and so on. It's a housekeeping matter that I'm dealing with for all minutes to capture whatever was being said in the past. On page 13, we, like I suggest, we pass and go to slide number 14. The issue of good attendance was not relevant in the quarter, and the number of civic and community education events, we exceeded that, and the reason for the huge overperformance relates to the 27 Schools Democracy Week, which was held in April, and some provinces continued beyond the scheduled April activities and extended that into May. So it gave us the boost. Previously, the Western Cape did not participate into the program. In this year, they also participated for the first time. And then the public perceptions, we had targeted a 75% positive perception. We've realized 77. And that analysis is done for us by an independent media buyer who analyzes reportage, news reportage, and give us an overall percentage in terms of the level of perception for the business. Now, lastly, Chairperson, is the issues of budget. And we wish to indicate that the ICT platform upgrade, which we had planned, remains unfunded to to the tune of 61 million in the present financial year and another 89 million next year. Similarly, the address harvesting initiatives, in the previous year we were not funded 180 million and it has gotten to 300 million if one takes into account 180 that was not made available last year. Now, the address harvesting weekends that I spoke about, which the Commission will announce shortly, is dependent on the 180 million being made available through the adjustment estimate process. So we've made the necessary submissions and we have been having very intensified interactions with National Treasury, with them interrogating line item by line item. So we remain hopeful that if not the total allocation will be made, at least a significant portion thereof will be. And then, Chair, we are also in the process of acquiring a new registration device to replace the system. We want a device that can also collect an address at the point of interaction. Because previously we just captured via the barcode an ID number and have had to capture an address a little while later. And that has created part of the problems around the address problem. So that procurement process is currently underway and is critical for preparations for 2019. So hopefully we are also able to get the necessary resources from National Treasury. Chair, I think that would be our say for this morning.
It is your story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, thank you very much. And I think, honorable members, when we speak to the IEC, I think it must be very, very clear that we wouldn't like, after an election, the story that happened to them. We wouldn't like that situation to arise. You can imagine when that arises, with such big numbers of money that is involved in that, and then you have to repeat that. And I think that we must just hope that the IEC is on top of the ball, it has got the correct machines, and then they actually do their job in a manner that our court would not ask questions. And of course, the political parties will make all sorts of noise at any time about elections, but it is the integrity of the outcome. If the Electoral Commission and the court can say that it's fine, then I think that will be the test. And I thought that would take even the other people that we will say that we have the questions lined up for that. But I was just indicating that we must always just be aware of the Kenyan situation, because we are also affected as a committee on oversight over IEC. If that happens, then it will also embarrass us as well. And therefore, there is a need that we continue and put an eye on the IEC and the department, and also to talk to the community of any legislation, relevant legislation that needs to be amended, to actually avoid such kind of things. I think we must be vigilant on that specific thing, especially this thing of addresses. Mm-hmm. There is a need of a talk to it and look at it, whether as it sits in the legislation, it doesn't pose risk. The risk cannot be minimized. And then we stand to be advised by the IEC and the department. But you must always remember that come 2018 June, possibilities that you may not be here from that particular time, man. Feeling that sense of freedom and feeling. Therefore, everything must be checked up to be in time so that you are able to process. And on that score, GPW, an opportunity also to make your mark on the first quarter expenditure report. And then you must definitely go and celebrate having done that. After this, thank you very much, Mr. Sis.
Thank you very much. We have 14 targets for the year for GPW, and Chair will remember that in the last ACC meeting when we were here in May, the committee raised concerns about annual targets, that majority of our ACC targets were all annual, we need to break it down to quarters. So we had 13 targets that we put the 14 targets. What we have done in this report is to report on all 14 and give you progress of what was achieved in the first quarter. So we performed 92.8%, so only one target was not achieved, and this target relates to finance, and the presentation will speak to it in detail. Largely it's because of the issues that DG has raised with regard to less number of IDs. Smart ID cards ordered, because what we produce is dependent on the target that Home Affairs shares. The second one is about the orders from the different lines. Normally in your first quarter there's a slow move in terms of orders that comes through. The same with gazettes. We had projected a high number of extraordinary gazettes. We have done the gazette target, however, there were very few emergency or extraordinary type of. In terms of our that affected our finances, you will see that the revenue we projected 362 and only reached 264. There's a variance of 107. Same with cost of sales. However, we do normally expect something like this with the first quarter. The second quarter goes quite high, and we have seen that already with this month is the last month of the quarter. In the last 2 months, it had skyrocketed. Slide 7 speaks to sales, and I've explained what would be the reason why we've gone slightly down, but because it's an annual target, we do expect that by the end of the financial year, we would have met the target. There with regard to recapitalization plan, it's the various equipment that we have planned to work on over the next few years. We are on track with that one. The sorting machine, which we did not do in the last financial year, in this quarter we had completed the procurement and SLA was drafted. When we give you the quarter two, we'll be able to tell you that actually it's completed. We are awaiting delivery, but everything else with regard to asset recapitalization is linked to the completion of Pavilion 3 construction, which is scheduled to be complete and handed over to GPW December of this year. ID cards, we have produced 100% of what we had agreed with Home Affairs. Same thing with the travel documents. Slide 9, we have achieved the target for examination scripts, and here we talk about two types of examination, Limpopo, which is the only province which we do currently. The other provinces use private sector to do their examinations. government gazette, we have achieved the target that we had put there of 42,322. Progress with construction of secure facilities. This is linked to Pavilion 3, which I've spoken about. It's linked also to the what we used to call the APSA building, which will be the head office or administration office, and we have appointed the professional services, so we hope to complete the project in the next financial year. But the reason why we brought in APSA building or the head office is to remove all administrative staff out of the for security reasons. Construction of the taxi site, which is the master plan, we have signed off on the professional services of that particular has given, because they are project managing this particular 1.1 billion master plan for Jupiter people. The process is now with public works. We are doing what we can to push them that they can start implementing that particular plan which we have signed off. The intention is to have that plan implemented and completed in the 2020-2021 financial year. Like 10K is just an idea of the machinery that we are busy working on, the methodology which we use, the activity-based costing, and the human capital that we need in order to do our own work or achieve all our goals. We do facility counseling, gazette services, which I think members are fully okay with.
It looks like you fired everybody. Everything is done by machine.
Chair, we need our human capital. Slide 11 is just to give you, we are basically showing some of the machines that we are using, and this is just less than 50% of what we have in terms of operations. What type of machines we use to cut machines, what kind of machines we use to hold the various products, how we stitch them, the collators, sewing machines. I'm hoping that when the development of this master plan is almost coming to completion, as well as when Pavilion 3 is one place, we can invite members to come and do the development and improvements that are there in our production and operations value chain. Slide 12 relates to marketing and us being able to align our target to secure 3 points. We have achieved a trade and industry for their own printing, for their own documents with regard to the registration of companies, and we are still working with South African police with regard to printing their firearm licenses. We are at the FLA stage. We do think that we, by the end of the financial year, we would have exceeded the 3. We are also still pursuing Swaziland. For us to produce their passports, we are giving them the proposal. It's currently going through their cabinet process. As soon as their cabinet is approved, GPW will print passports for Swaziland. We have started engagement with Mauritius. We are working with their GPW in Mauritius, and through the Office of the Prime Minister responsible for Home Affairs, they have proposed in FLA that GPW will assist them with regard to particularly the refugee passport.
Is that off the card?
Oh,
because I'm not seeing it on the paper.
Okay,
all
right. Trying to showcase the good work we're doing.
Okay.
Slide 13. Protection of information. and physical of GPWs and annual targets, we are implementing the plan, operational plans that we have in terms of making sure we have a secure facility. With regard to annual risk and compliance plan, it's an annual target, but we are saying thus far the plan is in place, it's been approved, the risk committee meets quarterly. Risk register is in place, the operational register space has been approved by all the management committees required, as well as by the external risk committee. Internal audit is functioning well, the unit is there, risk management is also in place and is functioning. The one target we did not meet relates to operating cost as percentage to revenue, which is what I had raised on the reasons related to Home Affairs. In terms of gross profit margin, we have achieved, the target was 48.6 and we have been able to achieve 52.09. Debt collection, the target was to collect within 80 days. In this quarter, we've been able to collect within 37.9 days. Maintaining a positive working capital ratio, there wasn't a target as such, it was an annual target we brought in as quarterly, and with 12.8 days. Inventory turnover ratio, target was 3 and we are standing at 3.26. SLA concluded, the target is 10. We have finalized in this quarter 3, and we've got just over 8 that are being finalized as part of quarter 2 and quarter 3, so we will meet our annual target. Return on capital investment, the target there is an annual target, but thus far we have achieved 50.8%. Construction facility, percentage completed of construction facilities, annual target with regard to Pavilion 3 and Master Plan, and we are, in terms of our own quarterly plan, we are now sitting at 75% and with Pavilion 3, which will be completed in quarter 3. I've reported on the head office and where we are at now, and the issue of the Master Plan, GPW Master Plan. With regard to human resources, filling of vacancies, it's an annual target, but the quarterly target we had put at 20%. We have now filled in the quarter 42.6%. With regard to developing training programs internally, it was a biannual target, but in terms of the work we've done in the quarter, 85% of the 100% graduates that have been contracted and are currently placed in the various branches and acquiring experiences in different areas. We are currently completing the recruitment process of apprenticeships. Members will remember that when we came the last time, we talked about scarce skills and a shortage of artisans that are qualified. We had taken the initiative to not wait for universities to produce, but we are speaking to the industry body called Printing SA, which is a member body of all the printers in South Africa. We have also engaged the CETA responsible for fibers to be able to assist. So the colorful leaflet you are looking at in front of you is that program that we are going to have our own artisans that we are developing in-house in partnership with Printing SA. Providing training, it was an annual target, but we have brought the quarterly report that says that we have achieved 46% of what was originally planned. Out of the 500 employees, 85 have been trained in 9 different positions. Slide 18, Chair, design of the business case for conversion of GPW from a government component into a state-owned entity, an annual target. We are at the point now that the business case, the draft bill itself, the MOU with the CS are undergoing cabinet. It was presented in cabinet on the 2nd of August, and we are due to go back at the end of this month for more information that was required. So we still think check as we review the bill in Parliament between the current financial minister and the initial committee. With regard to the annual internal audit implemented, the number of targets, which is 90%, is currently sitting at 28% of the approved annual plan for quarter one. Percentage of security vulnerabilities in terms of IT, the target was 80% was also an annual target, but for the quarter, it was 99%. And we have detected all the threats that were attempted to penetrate our own system, and none of them were able to affect the information or availability of ICT, 99% was the target. Members raised this challenge in the last time that it should be 100%, and we are definitely drafting our annual APC for 18-19 to take into account that particular concern. Availability of offerings, is an annual target, but we are giving members what we have done in the quarter, and that's the end of my presentation. The CFO and General Manager of Production will help me with questions related to their work. Thank you.
Okay. So yeah, I want us to know that the year is not 2017. No, thank you very much, and of course it's that members will follow that one item that we are worried about, security at TPW. Are these guys that are private persons vetted? I think it must always just hang at the back of your mind that you're not going to go past here with nobody asking you that. It's not going to happen. And we worried about security of our institutions. Honorable members, two NDPs, and they come in for the first time for quarterly report. And they're not like the Department of Home Affairs that is used to do this. And you are used to the stones thrown at you. So it's we must encourage them to come back in another quarter. Raputi. And then I think just try and make it clear when you are asking TPW or asking IEC so that they are able to write down your questions and be able to respond. Then Raputi will start, Kenya will follow, Saudi will follow, Dambuza will follow, then Hussein will follow, Nis will follow, and Kekana will close. In that order, Raputi.
Thank you for the presentation to the IEC. The issue of harvesting of the addresses, are you going to manage coming to 2018? How far are you with the address harvesting? And what are the cost implications in relation to that? And coming to GPW, are there any plans to make the government aware on the GPW website searchable, especially the one for the to include the Western Cape?
Thank you. Next.
Thank you for the presentation. My first question comes from IEC. Page 7, you talk about the non-compliance non-compliance of the performance management agreement by some staff members. Now, so that I understand that there are those that the non-submission, non-submission. So, we understand that according to the agreement, there is an agreement which is there. But now, what we do with those that did not submit the performance agreement? Because I understand those who are in maternity, illnesses, etc., and suspension. But I'm concerned about those who did not comply. So what is your position on that? Secondly, on again, I'm concerned about the ICT. Because what are these questions goes to move out? What I mean, talking about the unfunded ICT classes, I'm not sure if you now, did you discuss with Treasury on this case of this upgrading? Looking back, you said that it's unfunded. Did you make any engagements with the Treasury? On page 17 of, no, I understand now. But I just want to be sure on this page 17 on the audit, when they were on page 17, where they talk about the biannual reporting period. But now, it's not quite sure to me, maybe we explain, but I didn't hear you correctly when you say that it's not applicable for the quarterly target. That's why to check now if there's no target quarterly. Even if we are talking about the biannual reporting, noting that, yes, you say that 85% of hazard crime is conducted for 2 years period. But now that's why we check if this 85% is for
your take on that one, SIAC, in order to know, as this committee, what is your thinking before as political party we do our submission. Coming back to the harvesting of addresses, I think there's no insufficient, there's insufficient information regarding to that one, because when the chair was talking about Kenya, Esada, I think that one will also take us to that direction if that one is not addressed, especially there's a court case now. I thought your presentation will come in to say that after the court case, as the IAC, that how we are now in terms of getting those addresses. I think I heard you saying on that effect that one of the strategies which are putting in place is to introduce the online registration or printing of addresses, of which is one aspect. People, so we are not addressing the matter because you know our population that not all of them they are privy to those gadgets. we have also a problem as we speak, even with students. If you remember very well, in UNISA, students were up in arms when the UNISA was saying that all students must have gadgets in order to access their information. I'm talking about students here. So when we speak about IEC, we're speaking about people. So we have rural people, we have people even, not even rural areas, in areas whereby people they don't have means to have access to gadgets. So I think it's one aspect, let me just take it positively, this is one aspect of addressing the matter. But you still have to come and tell us what is your plan as IEC to address this matter. Your audit committee, I think, is not also sufficient as well to tell us that it's per your plan, the audit committee has not said, and so on and so on. What you want to note in this committee is that what is happening as per your plan? Have you achieved? Why not achieve? Those things are internal processes within the IEC, so it must be treated as such, and then come before the committee and tell us what you want to hear as a way forward. Those are my IEC questions, Chair, which are not questions, but it's just a clarification. Coming to you, Madam, I think I must also try to say that congratulations. I think we have done us proud, because you are telling us that out of 14, 13 achievable. So that is progress. I don't know if it's just because we're coming from a woman's month or not. But yeah, I think I must commend you on such things. But things that we didn't touch, I remember very well in this committee, we were raising things like, for instance, we are going to go to Africa now. So you have not even updated us about that, to how far you've gone with the project to tap into Africa. And then I think when we were doing a presentation, even Chair also commented to say it seems as if we are not getting more human resource people to work in your as a CEO. I think we want to create jobs, so we must come clean. Because when you also touch on that when you're doing the presentation, you just say in passing, but you know, Tina, as people who are representing people, the unemployment is too high. I know it's not your fault, but we would like to see people get employment, especially on the State Department. So if you can also be updated regarding that one. Yes, Chair, let me just stop there, please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've got two questions to IEC. The first question has been asked by Umamo Kenny, but I want to ask it the other way around. The issue of the performance agreement. Yes, we do understand there is a strategy of put forward, but some are not convincing because, for instance, if the person is on leave for 3 months, the person cannot be on leave for 3 months. But the maternity leave, we do understand, it can be extended to 6 months. But for a leave, that's an ordinary leave, and the sick leave, I don't think all those people who have not signed this have got those long-term sick leave. So I think we need to clarify those issues and then on that. Then the issue of repercussions is already asked by Imam K. Then the other issue is on the budget constraint. Seemingly, we are going to stay with this problem of budget constraints as well, hearing from the Treasury problem. The reason sometimes they really say there's no money. But I want to check, have you thought of, have you considered the issue of having an option, a funding option, another funding option? I don't know what, I'm not sure about the Act. Does the Act allow you to get funding from other sources other than government or parliament? And then the last one from to the IEC is the issue of the, no, no, sorry for the IEC. Let me pass on to the GW. Cici, can you tell us on the issue of that untapped that we have said 85% of 100% graduate contracted for 3 years in the human resource. So can, we don't, I don't, I didn't understand. understand what were you trying to say there. So if you can help me to unpack that one. And then the issue of the agreement of the Intellectual Property Commission and the Manhattan for Credit Services. You are saying both are finalized and in process. So you have got two issues there, finalized, and you are also saying in progress. So can you verify what is the correct issue there? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. My question is related directly to the ISC, it's related only to two issues. The one around the voter registration, I think it's been asked before, so I'll keep it brief. I just wanted to ask directly, are you going to meet the Constitutional Court deadline of June 2018? It doesn't appear so. And what then is the ISC going to do if you don't meet that deadline? On that same point, Chair, I understand that the IEC is trying to do whatever it can possibly to try and get all of those addresses, outstanding addresses for those registered voters. But apparently it's not there. All these people who apply for smart IDs, they have to give an address. You're not linking the two systems together that you can introduce. After the meeting, talk to apparently and do it to you. And I asked the same question at a local PLC meeting. They were unable to give the answer. I'm sure there must be a way that you can get it much faster. Then the online system, Chair, is it not possible for any person who has access to a list of ID numbers to place addresses for an individual voter in a different place? In other words, electoral fraud. And does the system prevent that from happening? Because if I want to move a whole batch of voters out of a particular ward to reduce the other political party's chances of success, does that system prevent it from happening? But nothing further. Thank you, Chair.
I hope you are not from Russia.
You guys have the contact.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think members have covered almost all the questions, but I've left with only one. For the IEC, I just want to check, Chair, from the IEC, why there is such a significant under expenditure on internal audit. Because this is a matter of concern. We are still looking forward for the annual project. It's not going to affect our annual project. Chair, from GPW, Honorable Dambuka has covered me on the question of the clarity on 85% and 100 graduates that are contracted for 2 years. As members, we are worried about the real and permanent job for our graduates. So please, Madam Moyo, expand and explain to us what do you mean by the 2 year period contracted graduates. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Is it speaking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Let me go deeper to administrative issues. I just want to know from IEC about, for instance, most of my questions were covered. And number two, I'm concerned about consultants. How many do you have? And why? The last question, who owns the building that you are operating in? So it's uniform to both of you. 10%. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and
Honorable members have asked questions. If you don't have an answer or you are not ready, I think you can still send that answer in drive to the committee. Don't answer for the sake of answering, even when the answer that you want to give us you are not sure about. Give us the answer that you are sure about it, because then they are going to form part of a report that may be discussed in the House. And therefore, the content and the information that we are basing the report should be the true reflection of the correctness of the responses that you have given us. So, I just want to say that if you are not ready with an answer for any question, you are not forced to actually say something that you will regret after, or you'll find that there is a different answer. We can get that answer in right in the following week before Friday and like that. But I want to appreciate the honourable members for having been lenient to yourselves and just asked very few questions. And we hope that in the next quarter, then you must plan for the West. Let's start with you, GPW, because you are in front of the mic. And remember that you have to leave some time for Sai to also to respond and the Deputy Minister and then to round up in that order.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the first question that was raised by Chairperson and the value rating, since May this year when we were before you, we have had engagements with SSA and we had raised the issue around delay with turnaround times of vetting of staff. We have had an agreement with SSA to make us a special project because of the nature of security of our staff. The special project started in June with SSA, where all our staff members, all our service providers are being vetted. So SSA is busy with it. Our completion date is 30 October 2017. So by then, all of us would have been vetted. At the moment, all the forms were submitted. They are currently doing interviews and polygraphy tests. So by the time we come back to you at the end of October, when we do come through, we will be able to give you an update of the completion of this project. The vetting will continue on an ongoing basis because as we contract new people for various services that they give to GPW, we have to involve SSA in terms of vetting of those. So we have made significant progress with state security. With regard to security of the facility, security of information, we have increased access, the security with regard to access, into GPW and outside. People don't just enter as we put measures in place, increased personnel, but also increased procedure of entrance into. Hence, the APSA building head office will assist because the traffic of in and out of non-printing production staff will not even be there because they'll be housed in the building opposite the street. But we are taking the issue of who has access to the products that we produce, including dispatch. The Pavilion 3 development is meant to deal with dispatch. At the moment, it's done manually by Home Affairs. When Pavilion 3 is done, they hand it over to GPW, December 2017. As we start the next financial year, there will be less access to the documents before they get packaged. So from production to sorting to packaging, dispatch will be directly to the offices of Home Affairs. So that deals with the issues of vetting. With regards to the point by Honorable Rafferty, with regard to the issue of e-gazettes, their notice through our website. Unless there's a particular client who wants to do it manually, we still do manually if the client requires. But that has been operational. We have introduced, you get your quote online, you pay online, you give us proof of payment, you give us your gazette notice in PDF, we publish it. So, Western Cape, we still don't do their gazette. With all the amalgamation 10, 15 years ago, Western Cape remained on its own. Through the CFO, she has begun engagement with the CFO, this side, and the relevant stakeholders to see whether we can still be able to attract them to use GPW as a service provider. With regard to tapping into Africa, Honorable Shope, we are working on that. At the moment, the people that we have been talking to is Swaziland. We have hosted them here, we've met with them, we've looked at their needs. They want us to produce their passport. Currently, their passport is produced by UK, and they've got an 8 month turnaround time. We have offered to give them a 5 day turnaround time. So we have left it to, we are now waiting for their cabinet process to be complete. GPW does have the capacity to produce. They produce maximum of about 80,000 per year because of the small population. GPW's record now production passport is over 800,000. So their number of passports is significantly low. So we can carry that load with immediate effect. We've met with Swaziland. They were here. They also want partnership in terms of two things. Security documents that we could possibly produce. So they've not limited themselves into any specific product. We are working on the SLA based on their own needs. And they are also developing a facility like GPW, high secure production facility. That's their long-term plan. They've asked us for consultancy services with regard to security design and with regard to other things that goes with what we are doing in Fifth Avenue Street. We have hosted ministers coming from Botswana, Lesotho, Namibia, Zimbabwe, and those are the countries that we are marketing our services to. And key things is ID, smart ID card, it's your passport. For citizens, officials, and diplomatic, but also marketing the refugee passport. Home Affairs, we produce the refugee passport, which is ICAO and UNHCR approved. We are the only country in Africa that has ever produced. We are basically saying to our counterparts in the continent that you don't have to spend money and reproduce the passport. When we produce passport to your blank, you personalize them to your country. So we are on a drive to, and we'll use existing opportunities where the various security centers, the various state departments, which we were able to say, we can manufacture it, it's there already. Ours says the Republic of South Africa. When determines how it must be done. They determine the color. They determine the security. So we are looking forward to market them. The child passport, you remember there was an issue with the unabridged birth certificate. We have now taken the particulars of the parent into the child passport, which means when a child has a passport, they don't need a UPC because the information is in the same passport as the child. The issue of HR with regard to graduates, there are three programs that GPW is running that seeks to develop young people, train them, and prepare them either as human capital for GPW or for the market. The one is we've got learnership program, which I think most government departments do. We've got 14 of those learner programs. They are in GPW for 2 years. The aim is to give them experience and prepare them to move forward with their career where they want to be. We then have a graduate. This is the criteria differ. The learnership, it will be based on the various functions. The graduate program says you have graduated, you've got your diploma, your degree, and you are sitting at home, you're not doing anything. GPW then says come in, and we've got a plan for this financial year 25. And we have now in this quarter 22 already placed. And GPW funds the stipend that they get every month for them. But the aim is to give them experience in a work environment. They are across all branches. And we do have a mentoring program. So each graduate and learnership is linked to a supervisor who has to give reports on what skills are they acquiring in the section. The third one is the apprentice program, which we've shared with you that we are partnering. That is specifically to look at the skills gap in production, the artisans. So to answer that question, it's 22 in place of the 25 we've targeted, and it's just for the apprentice program, and it's young people. They are qualified, or their criteria included that they needed to have graduated. But the artisans is grade 12, so they only have to have matric to be able to register for that program. And even out of that program, they will either be absorbed into GPW or be allowed to start their own printing companies or work for a printing company wherever they want after the training. Forklift on page 15. Chair, I think you are correct. The slide, in terms of finalize, the 3 points are correct. In terms of progress, the first 3 points should be deleted and started, which was an error from those who prepared the presentation. Litigation, we have zero. Building the own capacity costs. Consultants, ICT, no institution can avoid having Microsoft as a partner or any other service provider, so we do have contracts with IT for IT services. E-Gazette, we still have the consultants that are helping us with implementation of the entire module. We are currently reducing dependency, so we have reduced dependency from 100% to 30% on them, and the plan is that as we phase it out, GPW will be able to do that. We have advertised for posts for permanent staff to take over some of the functions that were done by consultants. And lastly is security printing machines. We buy these machines from Germany, from Japan, the Netherlands. We do need to keep the maintenance by the same organization that manufactures the machines.
Thank you very much. And then last time when we met you, there was a big machine that you were planning to procure somewhere at the end when the building is finished. And we said because of the lead times that are required, you must time it correctly, that you procure at the right time, that when that time arrives, then it gets delivered. And I think you should just simply sure that that is not the, we don't have the building finished and then we have the machine come 3 years after the building has been finished. That procurement process, that it must be timed correctly with the knowledge of the lead times and the budget that you have.
Yeah.
You wanted to make a follow-up?
Sure. No, it's not exactly a follow-up.
Okay.
Last meeting,
yeah.
we have agreed to meet with them about the issue of security. You remember that they told us that they've got a private security.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and we wanted that private security to be vetted or otherwise shipped out. So I want update to understand where are they now. Thank you.
Do you have some updates about what's in the company?
Fidelity,
yes. And then we, yeah.
Sure, they are part of the SSA GPW thing of October project. It's employees, service providers, all of them, including Fidelity. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. No, it is fine then. If they are the subject for the venture, it is fine. But to be much more honest, would love you to make sure that that facility is guided by really credible and risk-free entity or internal. That's what we like, but administratively and managerially, it may be a little bit difficult to do some of these things. And it is the high priority institution that was. There is a risk of private persons, even though that they may have been vetted, but we have got spies everywhere in this country. And some are actually having communications with some other people that we don't know but are known by others in real big homes somewhere overseas. So that's our worry actually. And it may be achieved sometimes in future because of either some contractual blah 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 and all that. But that is the ideal situation to heighten the security around those institutions. Now I'm sure we need SAC. But I think honorable members, we need to indicate that today it looks like South Africa is out of the technical recession. It has recorded 2.5, I think, the growth on GDP, as pronounced by the statistician. Thank you very much. And
let's
now, the economic fighters have actually fought for this economic growth. I think we can give you a hand. Side proceed.
No, Chair. Thank you very much. I think, Chair, I'll deal with the issue of the addresses. I think it's the heart of the questions that were placed before us. The fundamental issue, members, is the following. When the matter was deliberated in the Constitutional Court in April last year, there were 8 million South Africans with no addresses. And there was a further 8 million where we had what we refer to as either incomplete or generic addresses. As at June 2017, the number of people with no addresses on the voter's roll has reduced from 8 million to 2.9 million. Okay. Now, we had 33% addresses of people with addresses last year. That has been raised to 73% as of June this year. So out of the 26 million people that we have on the book as well, 19 million have addresses. Now, the measures that the Commission plans to implement, as I indicated in the presentation. One is an online facility. The reason for the online is that it is a cheap way of getting to many people. It's fast, and so on and so on. I don't have to go into details. But we did indicate that it is not a total panacea to the to the address issue. It addresses a certain segment of the population and not others, which is why, as a complementary endeavor, the Commission proposes a general voter address harvesting weekend, wherein all voting stations are open, so that those people in the deep rural areas, those students, and so on. Because as I indicated in the presentation, there is uneven access to the digital economy. For that reason, you need to have a complementary effort to deal with the problem. Indeed, we are collaborating with the department on the smart ID card. They give us those addresses. The surveyor general is giving us some of the data, as are some of the municipalities. So it's an omnibus of sources that we are using to get this address. Hence, will we meet the constitutional contact line in June next year? I think part of the answer really lies in the fact that South Africa is not 100% addressed. So in that sense, it is not going to be possible to have 100% coverage. But the commitment of the Commission is that as many people who have addresses as possible must be on record by June next year. For those that don't have addresses, the court has said you must record their sufficient particulars, and that's what we intend to do. The general registration, the general address harvesting weekend is contingent on the budget adjustment process wherein we've asked for 180 million from Treasury. There's been very intensive interrogation of that budget proposal from the officials of Treasury and ourselves, which is why I said if not the total allocation, at least a significant proportion of that should be coming our way to help us to deal with this problem. What our democracy cannot afford is to have people who have to be taken off the voter's roll because they are unaddressed or because we don't have their sufficient particular. So that is really where that issue is at. Chairperson, perhaps through you, we can share with the committee the June report that's submitted so that members can look at the detail that is made available there. Now, the 42 staff members who had not signed the contracts by the end of June. Remember, this is a quarterly report. It's a reality at a point. It's not a perpetual situation. That situation has since been improved. Those that have now come back from leave and so on, those contracts are on record. The only outstanding is people who are still on long-term leave and so on. But those that have not complied, they've now complied, and we manage that. Have we discussed the the political tension and so on with the financial matters? Yeah. The political tensions and the fractious nature of the an impact on the work that we do. I'll give you an example. We had an election last year in August which did not produce a clear winner in the Simahog in the Free State. Because of those dynamics and so on, that council has now been dissolved. We now need to ensure that we comply with the Concord Order as it relates to by-elections. You know, we will have this huge national program for this, but we now need to focus on Metsimahol, and it means diverting resources that were intended for certain programs to go and work in Metsimahol to work that election work. Now, ordinarily, we would have one ward vacancy there, which we run on a Wednesday, it's done with 5,000 people. This now includes the whole municipality. The same as we had consultants. We do have, I don't have the number of members, the precise number of consultants in the organization at the moment. We do have consultants in the IT space. The reason for that is that certain of the IT functions are specialized and you are not able to keep that person as a permanent employee. You need to draw them in when certain projects are done and remove them and so on. Nonetheless, given the imperative to reduce the number of consultants in the state machinery, we are also having an OC review process to reduce our dependence on consultants for those ICT functions that we can insource. So that is currently underway. Who owns the building? We are housed in a building that is owned by Upland. You know that we were in a 10-year lease with them. That lease is coming to an end in 2020. So in other words, it has 3 more years of the lease to run. The commission had approached the High Court, North Gauteng High Court, to consider setting aside that lease in the light of the public protector's report. Judgment was given earlier in the month of August, where the commission's application was dismissed. So, which means, unless the commission decides to take the matter on appeal, that lease will run for the next three years. Now, owner of the building,
yeah.
Is Upland. Provincial offices, municipal offices are owned by a myriad of proprietors, and I don't have the list here, unfortunately. So the 200, you need a list of the 200 offices and who the company that owns them.
Yes.
Okay.
To
the committee secretary. Okay. No, that's fine. Chair, we'll. Thank you very much. I think that concludes the answer.
Okay.
No, there was a question, Chair, which...
Yes, on the money.
On the money, yeah.
Okay, just on the ICT project and the upgrade that is unfunded, I thought myself very happy that we must be in front of National Treasury on the 7th of September, so I have the information available. What we say to National Treasury on the 7th, we first mentioned the problem that we have with the ICT upgrades in the MTEF 2040, and every MTEF we go with the same issue to National Treasury, and up to now we haven't been successful in obtaining the money. The issue that we currently have with the upgrade is that our servers, ICT servers, on which all our electoral systems run, is 7 years old. So we need to replace those. Also, we run on Windows 7 and Windows Server 2008, where Microsoft has indicated that they will only be able to support us till January 2020 and 2029 respectively. So we also need to replace our platform upgrades. That we will use money, 61 million, that we went through a vigorous budget analysis early in this year, and we tried to fund that the first 60 million ourselves to do the server upgrade and also the platform upgrade. What's left is the rest of the hardware that needs to be done before the 2019 election. we found in our NPF baseline 37 million that we can say we have really tried and interrogated our budget. We can find 37 out of the 89 for next year. 52 is still unfunded, and that 52 million, and that is what we also going to say to National Treasury on the 7th. Then again, the budget constraint, other funding options. We had on the 18th of April also a meeting with National Treasury saying to them, we need funding. And then they said they will bring us in touch with budget support. We're also looking at specifically in our civic and democracy education programs, whether there's not possibilities of looking at donor funding. And in those two areas, we also work with National Treasury to see going forward whether we can utilize perhaps possibly donor funding. The budget support program, I think we were late for this year, but most probably going forward, that would be an area that they would get us in touch with the correct people. Is there any questions on that? Of the requisitions and so on in the system, and that was one of the options, and one of the somewhere we mentioned their plan was not approved, was a little bit late, so some of their projects are running late. So by the second quarter, the under expenditure should be out of the way. We should be on track. Sorry.
Okay. No. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I think we need to appreciate merely just your presence, the IEC and the GPW for the first time, and on short notice as well. And moving forward, I'm sure they will communicate to you with our quarterly programs when this particular date is expected. And ordinarily, we would like to receive the presentation just 2 days, you know, before the date, like 5 days or 4 days before the date, and then it will always suffice. But if you can get it earlier as well, it is fine, so that you are able to look at this one and compare with your new one and come in preparation. And then, I hope that from the IEC, these new capturing machines are not going to be tested on a big election day. Then they're going to come well ahead of the 2019 election and have some dry runs on other elections or election activities that are not so clear. And then also, of course, is that we should talk about this political party funding. We haven't talked too much about it. We have some tools in the line next time when we come back. And then let's hear is how are the political parties receiving those funds? Because we know that some I think in the last report they were not here this week about the party funds, that they were not able to account and all those kind of things. And then so we need also to know what is happening to that amount. And then, we haven't heard anything about by-elections. It looks like your report has been talking about the major provincial, national, and local government elections that happen every 5 years. But the technicalities that moves around with by-elections, I'm sure the last by-elections, we had one ward where in the voting system, but there is a ward where you've got 6,000 voters and only 600 pitched out to vote, or only 400 pitched out to vote. No, if you look at the last by-election. So there is something that needs to be talked to in relation to also by-elections moving forward. And that's to understand how they are performing and how are they responding. Deputy Minister?
Double that amount just to register the addresses of 2.9 million. That's not insignificant. And I do think that one of the things that members haven't spoken about is the fact that if you look at the Constitutional Court judgment, not establishing the issue of addresses as a matter of principle, but as a matter of interpretation of the existing law. And that's very important if you want to consider whether in fact as a country you want to disenfranchise people on the basis that they not exist. My own feeling is that having seen the reports on COFTA, COFTA is also anticipating spending about an equal amount of money, if not more, to look at addressing people who are not addressed. So as a government, you're looking at a total investment of about half a billion just to ensure that 2.9 million are back onto the voting roll. So I do think that as a sensible parliament, one of the options available would be an amendment to the legislation. And I do think that not enough time is spent discussing that. And perhaps it's not for this portfolio committee, but for the COFTA people to do so. On the issue of the GPW, I think members are 100% correct to be concerned about the security and access of the facility. And of course one does what is humanly possible to ensure that the facility is secure. But I think members must remember that part of the reason for the upgrade and the huge investment that government has made to particularly the Pavilion 3 building is to address those concerns, but also ensure that the entity is able to expand its operations to service other markets and be sustainable. One of the things I do think, Chairperson, would be very worthwhile would be to go and visit the Pavilion 3 building. Fascinating exercise, and one that takes into consideration in the design the whole issue of security. But also remember that it's not just to satisfy ourselves that we need to ensure that we have the highest caliber of security at our precincts, but each of our clients that we market to, whether it's Swaziland other people would have a vested interest in security. Otherwise, we won't get their business. And so that's really how we're thinking about the issue of security at GPW. It is an investment into the institution, which is, as you know, a profit-making institution. We've also identified, over and above the fact that we would want to be able to produce security instruments for markets outside of South Africa. I think there's still a significant level of government business that we don't get. We spoke about the Western Cape, for example, but certainly other departments as well should be utilizing our services a lot more than they are. And so one of the things the Deputy Minister promised on her recent visit to Pavilion 3 construction site was that I would invest some time into expanding our local markets within the state so that we are essentially the state printer as And then everything else is a bonus. So, Chair, I think that's where we are. We're very excited about GPW, and we think that there's greater things to come.
No, thank you very much, and also again thanks to the two entities that are in the department and who have actually empowered us to be able to know exactly what is happening outside. And they will still convene the other seven provinces to come and give us their provincial activities. It's fairly operational, and then so it's we will get that and then be reflected in our. No, thank you very much, and honorable members, thank you for having dealt with this matter in a most effective way. Let this meeting stand adjourned. Thank you.
Just give me a few minutes.
Oh, I'm going to go to the next one.